Everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Your Encounter Today. Here's the question we're going to be asking. Is time travel in the Bible? And if there is time travel, if it's part of the redemptive plan of God, can God reach into your past where you suffer trauma or abuse and bring healing? We're going to be talking about that tonight with a guest who is qualified because he's got a tremendous book on the subject. But before I introduce him, I want you to introduce yourself right there in the comments. Tell us where you're watching from and what are you believing God for? We want to stand in faith with you and just put those prayer requests in our entire Encounter Today family. We'll look at those requests, stand in faith with you, believe God for the miraculous to break out in your life. And I just believe that tonight, past traumas are going to be healed. I believe that things that you have endured in your past are going to be broken, and God is going to set you on a new timeline. And our guest tonight, he is the pastor of Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. His radio and TV programs reach the entire world. He's a missionary. His ministry works tirelessly, rescuing boys and girls out of sex trafficking worldwide. Would you welcome to the program Pastor Troy Brewer? Pastor Troy, it's good to have you, man.
Hello, my friend. God bless you so much, Pastor Allen. I'm so grateful. Thanks, man, for having me on today.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. Your book has jumped off the bookshelf at me. Every word jumps off the page at me. We've actually never done this before. For those watching, if you want a copy of this book as we talk about it, Redeeming Your Timeline, Supernatural Skill Sets for Healing Past Wounds, Calming Future Anxieties, and Discovering Rest in the Now, we're going to make it available for a gift of any size if you go to EncounterToday.com, because we just want to get it into people's hands. And I want to know, first of all, how did a lead guitarist, a rock performer, get into writing about physics and the space-time continuum and redemption?
Well, actually, you know what? It's just a journey. It's just been an incredible journey for me. The Lord took me there, and it was not something that I was looking into. It was just something that God just literally opened up a door and said, Troy, I need you to go down this hallway. And I did. It actually started, Pastor Allen, at least 30 years ago. I think it was 1987. It might have been 1988. But I was playing in a Christian rock band. We were playing at a place called the Liberty Lunch on 6th Street in Austin, Texas. And back behind the bar, it said there was a sign that was hanging up that actually said, time is God's way from keeping everything from happening at once. And I didn't know it then, but it's an Einstein quote. And I just, you know, Pastor Allen, sometimes the Lord will just take words and he'll jump on you with those words, like the alien jumped on John Hurt back in 1980, and wrap around your head, and you cannot shake it whatsoever. And it was very much like that. And I just started going, why doesn't God want everything to happen at once? What is that? And the Lord just literally gave me a grace for it. I begin to look into time. I begin to look all the way through the Word of God. Any kind of reference that had to do with time, I begin to circle it, and I begin to underline it. I begin to study it. And then I begin to get into physics, and before long, I begin to understand that God Almighty is the inventor of time, and he created it for the purposes of redemption.
Well, the book really is powerfully anointed, and it's one of those things that at each page that you read, you're kind of hearing something. If it's not new, it's being approached from a different angle. And that revelation just brings comfort, it brings peace, it brings breakthrough. And I want everybody watching right now to begin to pray with your spirit. Begin to pray with your understanding, because I think some things are going to open up to you right now. And I think if you've suffered trauma, if you've suffered abuse in your past, there's going to be a breakthrough. So let's start with this, which is really where the book starts. Let's define time, the purpose of time, and the connection between space-time before we get into the testimonies that are going to blow people's minds.
Well, time, is created in perfect continuum by God Almighty with two other things. And when I say continuum, that's a real fancy word for without separation. So if we start with matter, if you're going to have matter, and we do, I got a table right here, then you have to have a space to put it in here. So matter and space are in perfect continuum. Yes. And if you're going to have space, you got to have time, because it takes time to go from this end of the table to that end of the table. And the reason why that's a big deal is because Einstein came up with a term called space-time, meaning you can't even separate time and space. But going all the way back to the Word of God, at the very beginning, in the very first scripture of the entire Bible that Brother Moses wrote, that he penned on some animal skin canvas after he came down from the mountain, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. Hmm. Time, space, and matter, though it was not... Though those three were not discovered to be in perfect continuum until the 1900s, Brother Moses discovered that thousands of years ago in the presence of God. And so, like, why is that? Because he saw the beginning of eternity, and he saw how all things were created, and he saw time, space, and matter was created by God. Now, Pastor Allen, we tend to think about time. We tend to think about God as time, and he's not time. He's not Father Time. He's Father God. And so if God created time, and he did, and if God created space, and he did, and if God created matter, and he did, and if God Almighty can change matter any way he wants to, that also means he can change space however he wants to, and it means he can change time however he wants to. If Jesus can change water into wine, if he can change a leprous body into whole, if he can take any kind of matters or any kind of properties of matter and change it, he can also take the properties of time and change it from something that is a curse to something that is redeemed and is a blessing to you.
Well, that's a key point throughout the book that people need to understand. Space, time are inexorably connected. And if God can work in one, he can and does work in the other. And you break down in the book different kinds of time that exist. Can you talk to us a little bit about the different kinds of time?
Well, sure can. I mean, first of all, we know that just in our own, you know, myopic view of time, we have past, present, and future. So those are three different kinds of time, right?
Yes.
But then we also have, biblically, we have times and seasons. Times, as what the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it lists 28 times and seasons. Okay. And by the way, they are in perfect sequence. We can get off into that in some other time. It begins with a time to be born, and it ends with a time of peace. That's the 28th one. And the Bible says in Psalms 37:37, "Mark the perfect and upright man, for his end shall be peace." Hmm. Right? So the ending is always peace if you are redeemed. Okay. So I say that to say this, that times are timelines and they are linear, and seasons are time circles. And they're cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they are meant to be, you know, they are meant to be very, very, very predictable. If it's springtime, I know what the next season is. If it is summertime, I know what the next season is. And I have to do the work in that season knowing that the next season is coming. Those are two examples of times. And by the way, times, as in timelines, those are always centered around some kind of epic event. There was the time I got married. There was the time my wife had twins. There was the time I was the pastor at Open Door Church. I'm in my 26th year of that now. I'm still in that time. So it has to do with the beginning and the ending of an epic event. But time seasons or moedims have to do with prophetic appointments, has to do with, okay, get ready to meet me here now and meet me at this narrative, and then I'll meet you again in the next season, and I'm going to give you another layer of the same narrative that I always visit with you during this season, okay? Some other examples of time in Scripture. I like to talk about, well, there's accelerated time, there's halted time, okay? Different ways that God manipulates time. But there is also redeemed time and unredeemed time.
Yes.
And in a flow of unredeemed time, you are losing everything. In a flow of redeemed time, the kingdom is coming and you are gaining everything. So anytime in the Bible, Pastor Allen, where you see it says, "And when the fullness of time had come, That means the following verses are going to show you a redemptive view of time. If it says, and when the time had passed, it's going to be an unredeemed view of time all the way through the Bible.
This is so key in the book. And again, those of you that are watching, don't get overwhelmed. In a moment, we're gonna really break this down and bring it to your level. But this is huge. There is redeemed time. There is unredeemed time. Unredeemed time, you're losing. Redeemed time, you're gaining. And you begin to talk a little bit about the sons of Issachar anointing. Yes. The Issachar anointing. What is that? Yep.
Well, we know that the sons of Issachar, of course, is one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and it is a tribe that specifically had a prophetic gift to know what to do prophetically during prophetic times and seasons. And so it means it's the God-given ability to be in sync, because if you're in a flow of redeemed time, you're in sync. If you're in a flow of unredeemed time, you're out of sync and you lose everything. It's like in Deuteronomy 28, when he begins to define the curse, he says this, and he says, because you will not obey my voice, in the morning you will say, I wish it was evening, and in the evening you'll say, I wish it was morning. So when you're single, you wish you were married. When you're married, you wish you were single. When you don't have kids, you wish you did, and so on and so on. And you miss everything because you're out of sync in the timing. We know that King Jesus showed up to Jerusalem. He said, you missed your day of visitation. Okay. And then a great curse came upon them. So to be cursed is literally to live in a flow of time that is not redeemed, where everything is being taken away from you. The last recorded words of Frank Sinatra is, I'm losing it, I'm losing it. I'm not saying that Frank Sinatra wasn't saved. I don't know if he's saved or not, but I can tell you he was literally experiencing unredeemed time. Whereas Brother Paul said, for me to die is gain. Hmm. Well, how could that be? Because he's in a flow of redeemed time. In any kind of form of redemption, and this is the first premise of the book is that God Almighty created time and he's not subject to it in any way. The second one is God created time for the purposes of redemption. And the third one is redemption changes everything. So is it okay if I tell you about the train story, Pastor Adam?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. That was the next thing on my list, because that revelation you have when you're sitting there watching a train go by at a train tracks, I assume that's what you're talking about, and you're waiting on the cars and all you can see is one at a time. Tell us what the Lord did for you there.
Well, I had an encounter and I was sitting in my truck minding my own business. And sometimes, you know, there's a way that you encounter God by pressing in. There's a way that you encounter God by seeking and all those things that you talk about all the time, right? But sometimes, just because you're his child, he will literally arrest you. He will literally, you're just minding your own business, waiting for a train to pass. And all of a sudden you're like, dude, the presence of the Lord is in this truck with me. Something's going on. And then all of a sudden I was caught up in the spirit, and I was looking at this train and I was looking down at it from, I don't know, maybe 1,000 feet or so. And I could see the engine, I could see the caboose, I could see every car in between, and God instantly told me, this is the way that I view time. I see the beginning from the end at the same time. I can see, Troy, I can see your timeline, I can see the day that you were born, and I can see the day that you're gonna die right now, right this second. I can also enter into any part of that train that I want to, and my manifest presence will bring redemption and changes and transforms everything. As soon as I saw that, I understood it this way, Pastor Allen, that right now, God Almighty can see the timeline of all humanity. He sees Adam falling, and that's where the timeline begins, is when Adam falls, not when Adam was born, but when Adam falls. And that's very important, because Adam didn't need redemption until he sinned. Therefore, he was not subject to time, space, or matter before he sinned. And that's a whole nother side study, but that's legit. And then whenever God said to him, in the day that you sin, you shall surely die. Adam died 930 years later, and one day is to the Lord as 1,000 years. He died on the first day. So whenever God is looking at the timeline, he's watching the fall of Adam 2,000 years later, but let's just say two cars later of the train perspective, he's watching Abraham march Isaac up to the top of the mountain. The next car, 1,000 years later, he's watching David bring in the Ark of the Covenant. The next car, he's watching King Jesus confront the Pharisees, right? The next car, he's looking into the dark ages and the martyrs. The next car, he's looking at you and I right now. The next car, the last 1,000 years, is the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the seventh day. And the train literally ends at the great white throne judgment. And once sin is dealt with, there's no more need for time. So it's done. It's over. And then God creates a new heaven and a new earth. There is new space and new matter that is not subject to time anymore.
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today, or when you go to troybrewer.com, and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How much is the church suffering from not understanding this revelation? So let's dig into time travel. Is it in the Bible? You even mentioned in your book that, is Jesus a time traveler? So let's answer that. Is time travel in the Bible? Is Jesus a time traveler? And what does that mean?
Yes, I can give lots of examples. A lot of fun stuff when it comes to time travel in the Bible. One is the book of Revelation, okay?
Yeah.
So this is what happens. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shows up on the island of Patmos. He speaks to Brother John. After he gets through instructing him concerning the church, he hears a voice in heaven that sounds like a trumpet. He gets called up, and then God Almighty, King Jesus, literally grabs him, pulls him over 2,000 years into the future and drops him, lets him see the rapture of the church, the tribulation, the glorious return of King Jesus. Then he pulls him up again, takes him 1,000 years into the future from that, drops him and shows him the great white throne judgment, shows him the new heaven and the new earth, and then picks him back up, takes him back, drops him 3,000 years before that back on the island of Patmos and says, write that down, boy. Hmm. And he does. So not only is the Lord able to move back and forth in time, sometimes he takes people with him. Just the book of Revelation is a prime example of that. I also know that there are examples of the Lord showing up in people's past where he had not been, and God showing up in people's futures where he had not been. And like, what? It's a lot like Pastor Allen. And, you know, we know that Jesus doesn't show up until Matthew chapter 1 in the Bible. But then once you see him in Matthew chapter 1, you begin to see him in the Old Testament as well.
Hmm.
Okay. And like, what are you doing? It's a lot like finding a 747 in, you know, some, you know, hidden and buried from 5,000 years ago. That has no business being here. Okay, well, that's because the Lord is not subject to time. Jesus even walked with Peter at the end of the book of John on the Sea of Galilee and told him, I have seen how your death glorifies me. Meaning, been there. I've already been with you in the last few moments of your life. I've seen it and it does glorify me. Peter, you're not going to bell. You're not going to. I know that you're worried about that, but I've seen it and it's going to glorify me. Yeah, the Lord is a time traveler.
So he can step in and out of, and your book, Redeeming Your Timeline, is probably mostly scripture. That's just verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. If people want to get a copy, go to encountertoday.com for a gift of any size. We'll get it in your hands. And you make the point that Jesus can step in and out of any moment of our lives. He's with us right now. You just said that. He's also with us on the day of judgment, which is probably why it's a good idea to listen to him when he tells you to do something. He's also in our past. So are you saying that Jesus can literally right now reach into a past moment of difficulty, of trauma, of tragedy, and alter that to affect our right now and our future?
Absolutely. And you know what? If Jesus steps into your past right now, it changes your right now. Okay, so like, wait a minute, oh, that's too much. No, it's not. Here's how it works. Okay, if I can believe, which Pastor Allen, where exactly are you right now?
We're in outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay, well, okay, so I'm south of Fort Worth, Texas, okay? If I can believe that I can pray and ask the Lord to be manifest right outside of Charlotte, right?
Yes.
Exactly where you're at. That means that I believe that he can be manifest across space.
Because space and time are connected.
Yeah, you cannot separate them. So if it's true for space, then it's also true for time. Because you cannot separate them. They're in perfect continuum. Okay.
Yep.
So if I mean, it's not that big of a leap. And if I believe that God can change matter, then I also believe that God can change space. That's not a big leap because you can't separate them. And so if God can change space and if he can move across space and step into any place in space and be made manifest, then I also have to believe that he can do that concerning time. So if I can invite King Jesus into my right now, Pastor Allen, if I can do that, if I can say, Lord, I'm inviting you here, or if I'm, you know, like I have a bunch of kids in Uganda, we have a whole bunch of homes all over the world. Or if I say, Lord, I'm asking you, sir, not for your omnipresence, but for your on me presence to be made manifest in Kampala, Uganda. I pray, God, that you'd be with my sweet little girl, Grace, and bless her and help her and love her and show up and be made manifest. If I can do that across space, I can do that across time.
Wow.
So if I've got some traumatic place within my life, I'm just going to use something extreme. Let's just say I was molested as a child, which is so common among human beings.
Yes.
But let's just say that something like that, and it's affected me. It's affected my relationships today. Mm-hmm. It's affected my view of men or of women. It's affected my sexuality. It's affected my security, all this kind of stuff. Here's what's real. If I am in relationship with Jesus today, and if I can invite him into my now, I can say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into that traumatic moment or those series of traumatic moments when I was 5 or 6 or 7 years old. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would be made manifest to me in those moments.
Wow.
Pastor Allen, when his manifest presence, he will literally step into your past right now. And when his manifest presence steps into that, it changes. It drops the curse from there to here. And it cannot exist because out of the throne comes a river of life. And when he's your king in that moment, what's flowing out of it is life and life more abundantly. Another good example is I don't have to wait until I die or until I'm gasping to ask Jesus to be with me. I can ask Jesus to be with me on my last day. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the last 5 minutes of my life will be the best 5 minutes of my life. Hmm. How in the world can I fear my death if I know that Jesus is already there with me?
It's so profound, and so many people are suffering with past tragedies. They're just walking with it, carrying it with them. It's affecting their decisions. It's affecting their life. You even tell the story about a plane crash, an incident that took place that is just such a powerful testimony, but you've seen so many like this. Could you share that testimony with us?
I have. I've had a couple of friends of mine, ironically, they're two different families that in my small town that their parents died in private plane crashes. And it was terrible. It was terrible for them. And they were all my friends. And years go by, decades go by, and I run into this girl that I hadn't seen in decades. And she's like, Troy, I saw you on television. I can't believe you're a preacher. And I'm like, I know, me either. It's ridiculous, isn't it? She's like, yeah, we're talking. And we get to talking, and I tell her and I remind her, you know what, man, your parents were really good people. And I think about them all the time. And she said to me, she said, yeah, they were. And immediately I could tell she's still devastated. As a 50-some-odd-year-old woman, she's still devastated over the death of her parents. And so I get to talking to her about it, and I just asked her, I said, what is the worst part of all that? She goes, the worst part of the whole entire thing is not that they missed my wedding, not that they missed my kids, not that all that, because she'd been through a whole bunch of divorces. She'd been married 3 or 4 times, and I think she'd been married 3 times. She's about to get married the 4th time. Every relationship she'd had had been consistently messed up. And she just said it was that they died in such a horrible way, and it was just so horrible. And I said, well, let me ask you something. I said, what? What if we invited Jesus to be made manifest to your parents in the airplane before the crash? It's like, what? Like, yeah. I told her, I said, you know, we can ask the peace of Jesus to be with us right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, she actually said, what? And I said, yeah. Yeah, can I please pray with you? She says, yes. I pray with her. And I said, Lord, let your peace be with us right now and let her know your manifest presence. And she just started crying. And I said, do you feel that? And she's like, yes. And I said, well, that's Jesus. That's the manifest presence of Jesus. And he loves you so much. And he's here with us. Let's invite him to be manifest to your parents inside that airplane.
Wow.
And she said, we can do that. So yeah, he's not subject to time. Let's ask him. So we did. And whenever we prayed that prayer, I immediately saw his arm go around his wife, and I saw a big giant red ring. It was actually his right hand, a big giant red crimson ring, like huge, like Liberace ring, and put it around her. And he said, and I heard him saying, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And I told her that. And she's like, you think so? I said, I know so. And she's like, man, I believe it. And she's like, that's crazy. Well, immediately she began to be restored to her kids. Immediately, a lot of the craziness stopped. Immediately, all of the, just over the next couple of months, God began to do miracle after miracle after miracle. Finally, she told her brother, and she also told her sister, so look, I want to go to the crash site. I've never been to the crash site. And they hadn't either. Like, she said, let's go. They went out to the crash site, and they went out there, and she told them the story. She said, you know, crazy old Troy Brewer prayed with me and asked the presence of Jesus to be in the airplane with him. He said he saw dad's hand and his ring and all this crazy stuff. Well, one of the things that she had told me that I left out was that she said, you know, my dad had a big giant ring like that.
Right.
And it was his college ring. And I said, really? Well, I didn't know that. She goes, yeah. They went out there, Alan, and she was sharing that testimony, and they looked down on the green. They looked down on the ground, and that ring was laying on top of the ground. Goodness. Right there where they were standing.
Wow.
And it was such a huge confirmation to them. And they were just like, we've had it wrong all this time. We thought they were alone and horrified. We now know that Jesus was with them. That changes everything, because it brings redemption into it.
Well, you go through the book point by point. You even kind of lay it out so that they can see step one, steps two, step three, how you can invite Jesus into your timeline, how you can invite him into your past. There's another prayer on how you can invite him into your future. So as we get into the how, before we do that, you talk about how everything is relational before it's functional. So when you talk about Jesus getting involved, for example, in matter, with turning the water into wine, dive into that a little bit with us so that they can understand how to invite God into our now. How do we invite God into our past, present, and future through relationship?
Well, relationship is just everything to the Father. It's just absolutely everything. We have so missed that throughout the centuries in the body of Jesus. And I'm a very gung-ho guy, Pastor Allen, and I'm all about accomplishing big things. We do huge things all over the world. But I tell you what, we do it as a result of relationship, not for relationship, because we just get it that everything in the kingdom is relational before it's functional, that we are the children of God, and we are led by the Spirit, and we are the friends of God. And so whenever you, if you look at whenever Jesus turned the water into wine, he didn't do that as a matter of fact, he even argued about the timing.
Yes.
He argued with his mom. And I want to tell you, there's also another part of this study is that there are several times that Jesus turns to his mama and his mama tells him it's time. Mm-hmm. Because she has authority in his life as a child. It says he made himself subject to them. Okay. And he's like, okay, it's not my time. And she's like, yeah, it is. Let's do this. And that is remarkable to me. But it's not because she's deity. It's because of his special relationship with her.
Yes.
Okay. And it's all about relationship. When he changed the water into wine, it wasn't for some major monster holy moment. It was to make a party better. It was to take away the shame from a wedding that was obviously ravished by poverty. Hmm. It was to turn a failure into a triumph, merely relational. That's what it was. And I love, and I know that you know all this, how that Moses showed up and turned the water into blood and said, the party's over. And then Jesus showed up, turned the water into wine and said, the party's on. That's a completely different relational thing. So I would just say this, that your relationship with him gives you access to something that is so incredible that you literally do not have to be shackled to the hurts of your past or the fear of your future. Pastor, can I read a verse out of Psalms 139?
Yes.
I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read this. There's a whole bunch of verses on this, and I would just encourage everybody, go read Psalms 139 because it's all about how God Almighty uses time for the purposes of redemption, for right relationship. I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation in verse 6. It says this, "You have gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past." That is how King Jesus brings redemption into every single time frame. If we will invite him in and personally, it's not about a formula. It's not about some secret weirdo thing. It's simply about being, I would rather be in relationship with you in the midst of that traumatic event than anything else. Even if I make my bed in hell, there you are, King David said. King David totally understood these principles.
And you make the point in the book beautifully that relationship trumps the natural order of things. A relationship with Jesus trumps natural order, whether it's water being turned to wine, Jesus phasing through a door to meet with people he's in relationship with. Relationship trumps everything. So when you get to chapter 19, you walk us through the steps point by point on how to redeem a tragic place of loss. Can you give us a few keys? I'm going to have you pray for us here in a moment and pray for those who have tragedy or trauma or abuse in their past or who are anxious about their future. I think panic attacks are going to be healed. People are going to be delivered from the grip of the enemy before this broadcast is over. But what are some keys now to seeking that redemption from tragic loss?
Well, your awareness of how you steward your life in respect to your relationship with Jesus is everything. And like, if you're like looking at any area of your life where Jesus Christ is not obviously on the throne, whether it's, you know, your marriage or your finances or whatever it is, it's your responsibility to go, okay, here's the deal. I got to invite Jesus into this place and I have to conform my life to the image of his plan. That's what I have to do. And that's the walk. It's one thing for God to give you the plan. It's a whole other thing, Pastor Allen, for us to conform our lives to the image of that plan and say, I am subject to you. I am your bride. I love you. And I'm going to make my life look a whole lot more like heaven than it actually looks like hell because you're there. That's where you are. And I'm going to put you on the throne of my heart in this area, that area, and another area. Okay. Well, you do that same exact thing with concerning areas of your life. If you have a shameful place, you have a traumatic place, if you can identify someplace that makes you cringe whenever you think that, that is a place where Jesus is not ruling and reigning. It's literally like a part of your promised land that the Philistines are still in control of.
Yeah.
And you have to take that place. And how you take that place is you literally invite the presence, the manifest presence of King Jesus into that place. You humble yourself, and it may be something that you did. Maybe maybe you've done something horrible to somebody that you shouldn't have done. Maybe you stole something. Who knows? Maybe you were a part of something that you should have never been a part of. Maybe that's what happened. Whatever that is, I would just say that you can still invite Jesus into the worst moments of your life and say, Lord, please be my king in this place. Hmm. Or maybe you were victimized by somebody else's mishandling. You can still invite King Jesus and say, Lord, you are just and you are good. And I'm inviting you into that place and literally invite him into that place. Say, Lord, I can see this place in my mind. I can see it in my spirit. I know what happened. I know the day on the calendar. And I ask you, sir, to be made manifest in my life, even though that was 30 years ago. I'm inviting you into that place right here and right now. And I invite you, sir, to be king over my life instead of whoever did that or whatever terrible thing happened. Ask him to make him. Ask him to make that real to you. Ask him to give you an eye to see and watch how the flow of time changes from unredeemed to redeemed.
I think they're ready to do it. I think people are ready to do it right now. They're ready to receive Jesus, not just in their now, in their past and in their future. Would you lead us in prayer for that? I think people are ready to be set free.
Father God, I want to just lift up the next couple of minutes, God, as Pastor Allen and I pray together. I pray, Father, in the name of King Jesus, that you would give every single listener a grace to be able to wrap their heart around this and say, I believe this. I believe that God is not subject to my past. He's not subject to my present. He's not subject to my space. He's not subject to my future. And God, I am inviting you, King Jesus, into any place, into my heart, any place into my mind, any place into my timeline that I can identify that has not had your manifest presence. I repent for running away from you in that place. And I say, Lord Jesus, meet me here in this place, in the dark places, in the terrible places, in the places, God, that I'm ashamed of. God, I'm convinced by the power of the Holy Spirit that I can come boldly to your throne of grace. And I ask you, sir, to establish that. I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, to identify those places. And I pray, God, that you'd set us free in every way that a person can be set free. I pray, sir, that over the next few minutes and the next few days and weeks and months even, God, that every single person that is watching and listening, God, that they would be able to identify places in their life that they need to invite your manifest presence into. And I pray, God, that you would redeem their time in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' Amen. Name. Hallelujah. Right, I receive in the comments.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, God's working. His hand is right now in your past, in your future, in your now. Things are shifting. Things are changing. And the book, you got to get a copy of it, Redeeming Your Timeline. You can go to EncounterToday.com for a gift of any size. Listen, we want to sow. It's our culture at Encounter Today to sow into ministries like this. We want to be a part of the work that Brother Troy is doing, that his ministry is doing. And if you want to partner with us in that sowing, go to EncounterToday.com. Look for the special offer, and you'll see it, Redeeming Your Timeline, for a gift of any size. And we'll be sure to get that book to you, because Revelation, this is a thick book. It's full of scripture, full of revelation, full of how to apply this revelation in your life. And Brother Troy, we're thrilled to partner with you and the work that you're doing. What are some other resources that you have available? I know you've got some tremendous e-courses and other things. How can people access that? And what else do you have going on?
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much, brother. You can simply go to troybrewer.com. If you go to troybrewer.com, if you go over to the resources, all of my books and everything is there, including the e-courses. And I'm especially happy about this e-course on Redeeming Your Timeline. We're just launching it big time this week. We're actually just now. And it's my favorite e-course I've ever done. I love this e-course. And I'm like, yay, this is really good. And so we do have that. We have all kinds of packages that have the book, the workbook, the e-course, the study guide that goes with that. We also have soaking CDs. I don't know, what you guys call those, but yeah, where we have music and then I'm going through these scriptures. I'm saying these prayers. We even have cards that have the prayers and have the scriptures on them as well. So we have all that stuff, and we really want to get this revelation into the mainstream body of Jesus and let people know that as we get closer and closer to the return of King Jesus, time is speeding up. The days are shortened for the elect's sake. And we got to get this and get it quick.
Well, I'm looking at the study guide right now, and it's phenomenal. And I want people to make themselves available to all of your resources. The links for Brother Troy's ministry is in the description of this video. And what I want to do, tomorrow we've got a podcast on Encounter Underground. I want to talk with you about your work with sex trafficking. You're there close to the border. You guys work around the world in that arena. And I want to dig deep into that with an uncensored conversation about that if you'll be with us on the podcast.
I'd be so honored to.
Awesome.
I'd be so honored to.
Awesome. Well, listen, those of you that are watching, go to EncounterToday.com. Get your copy of the book, Redeeming Your Timeline. Be sure to sign up for our email list so you can be notified anytime we go live. Also, the podcast is just exploding. Encounter Underground, search for it. The links are in the description of this video. We've got some great interviews that I think will be a blessing to you. And we'll see you next time right here on Your Encounter Today. God bless.